A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke.
Glory to you, Lord.
Jesus took Peter, John, and James and went up the mountain to pray. While he was praying, his face changed in appearance, and his clothing became dazzling white. And behold, two men were conversing with him, Moses and Elijah, who appeared in glory and spoke of his exodus that he was going to accomplish in Jerusalem. Peter and his companions had been overcome by sleep, but becoming fully awake, they saw his glory and the two men standing with him. As they were about to part from him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good that we are here. Let us make three tents, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah." But he did not know what he was saying. While he was still speaking, a cloud came and cast a shadow over them. And they became frightened when they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my chosen son. Listen to him." After the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone. They fell silent and did not at that time tell anyone what they had seen. The Gospel of the Lord. For a person to go straight along the road, he must have some knowledge of the end. Just as an archer will not shoot an arrow straight unless he first sees the target. This is particularly necessary if the road is hard and rough, the going heavy, and the end delightful. That was written by St. Thomas Aquinas in the Summa Theologia. I think it's very appropriate for our gospel today. Peter, James, and John were led up the mountain. What does that mean? Why did they go up this mountain? They left everybody else behind. Just those three went, and they had an epiphany. Here is Jesus among them, and in a moment, Elijah is there, and Moses is there, and Jesus is in his glorified body. They looked at him, and he was beautiful, magnificent, full of glowing energy. The image of our risen Lord should be enough to strengthen us on our journey. Since Peter, James, and John would be three of the pillars of the church, they needed to have the reassurance of what would be on the other side of the crucifixion that Jesus talked about. He talked about going to Jerusalem. And what would happen in Jerusalem? Would he be welcomed? Would people be so happy to see him? At first they would, but then their faith would falter. Even Peter, on the night when our Lord was betrayed on Holy Thursday, even Peter would doubt. He would need this boost of energy that he got at the transfiguration view of our Lord. He would need that to carry him along the journey. Remember what happened? "Oh, Lord, I would never abandon you." Remember that one? No, come on. These other guys might leave, but me, I'm here forever. I'm here for the long run. And Jesus says, Peter, before the cock crows, you will have denied me three times. Remember that? It is a difficult journey. Jesus takes him up there. So St. Thomas Aquinas says, you have to kind of know what's on the other side in order to have the strength to move. And in our creed, we say that we believe in the resurrection of the dead. Do we not? Do we believe in the resurrection of the dead? Or are those just words that we say? Hopefully we believe in that. Because we're all going to die. Differences. We're going to carry our cross just like Jesus carried his cross. We're going to be abandoned. We're going to feel alone. We're going to be hungry. We're going to be tired, as the disciples were. But it doesn't end at the 14th station of the cross. There Jesus is laid in his tomb. Let's go back a little bit. Remember, on the cross to the side of Jesus, there was an ordinary thief. He said, we are guilty of what we are done. We got what we deserve. And then he looked at Jesus and said, Lord, remember me when you come into your kingdom. He was humble. He was contrite. And Jesus said, today you will be with me in paradise. This man did not want to get down from the cross. I'm stealing this from Archbishop Fulton J. Sheen. He talked about that. He said the good thief did not want to get down. The bad thief wanted to get down. Get us off this cross and we will believe in you. Bring us out. Bring us back into the world. Back in the world where all the noise is. As St. Paul said in his writings, I'm in Philippians. Ah, you guys are afraid of the cross. You are against the cross. You want to fill your bellies. You want to be fed by the world. But our citizenship is in heaven. Remember that. So the good thief, he didn't complain and want to get down. Bishop Fulton J. Sheen, said he wanted to get up. That thief wanted to go up. And he joined himself with our Lord. As we continue along, we are missing one, and like I said earlier, at Three Forks, if I one day get to be the Pope, which is impossible, but if I got to be the Pope, I would insert another mystery. And that was when Lactantius was pierced in the side. And from his side, or Lactantius, the Roman centurion, pierced our Lord in the side. Put that wound that we can see right there. And what happened? Blood and water came out from the side of our Lord. And that blood and water reminds us of our sacraments. The Holy Eucharist at this table today. Part of our Eucharist is the blood of Christ. We take the wine. Jesus receives it. Becomes the blood of our Lord on this altar. The blood that takes away the sins of the world. The blood that washes our robes clean, as is said in Revelation. The water reminds us of baptism. When we went through the waters of baptism and the water washed away our sins. And after that, we were given a nice, clean garment. Were you baptized? She was. This is good. And you got a nice little white garment that reminds us of our soul. Our soul being clean white, just like Jesus was on the mountain of transfiguration. He was clean. He was shining clean. That is what we have to remember. Our soul, when it was washed in baptism, became clean again. Cleaned. Now, we need to bring that soul to heaven. And we need to present that soul, that wedding garment that we have, to our Lord. That wedding garment that was washed clean in the blood of the Lamb is something that we cannot purchase. We can't pay for it. We can't earn it. It was a gift from God. And what was the price of that wedding garment? The price of His Son. Our first reading, we had Abram. Abram, I will make you a father of all nations. But Abram had no children. Later, his name would be changed to Abraham, father of all nations, when he would have a child. He would have a wonderful child. Him and his wife Sarah would have this child. His first child, Ishmael, was born of his concubine because Sarah was too old to have a kid. You ever prayed for something and hoped that God would give you what you want? Well, he prayed all the time and he wanted a child. And then he and Sarah thought, we're too old to have a child. We just have to move on to phase two. But God said, no, I'm going to give you and your wife a child in her old age. And she conceived and bore Isaac. And later on, when Isaac got older, he was led to a mountain in Jerusalem. And what was he going to do with that son? God said, take your son up that mountain and make a holocaust of him. Kill your son for me. And God demanded that. Abraham followed it. Abraham went to the mountain. And there was wood that had to be made for the burning of the sacrifice. Abraham led Isaac up the mountain. Pardon me. And as Abraham and Isaac went up the mountain, Isaac carried that wood of the sacrifice, or wood of the Holocaust, on his back. He got to the top of the mountain, and he said, Father, where's the sacrifice animal? You are the sacrifice. Abraham's body was laid down. Isaac's body was laid down. Thank you. That's my grandson, Liam. Thank you. Abraham laid down his only son on the altar. And God said, Abraham, do not touch the child, for I will give the sacrifice. There was a ram there. The same mountain, Jesus goes up that mountain in Jerusalem, carrying the sacrifice, or the wood, on his back, the cross. And we do that through the stations of the cross. I recently read that St. Padre Pio, he had the stigmata, no A on the end. St. Padre Pio carried for 50 years the holes in his hand, on his feet, and on his side. And they would bleed. He joined in a real way of our Lord carrying the cross. But when he died, they noticed something else. On his right shoulder, there was a tremendous wound. Do you know how he got that? From carrying the cross. Jesus carrying the cross. A tremendous wound on his right side that bothered him more than any. And he would bleed from that. That is what Jesus did carrying the cross. St. Padre Pio, when he died, all those marks went away. They all left. When we see Jesus in heaven, and I hope that we all get to stay. Do you want to go to heaven? he said, oh yeah, I want to go. Me too. You know, people like me need prayer. So you need to pray for all of us, my friend. We all need those prayers. When our Lord led them up the mountain and Peter was talking, he was the only one talking. And then the cloud came and he was terrified. And a voice came out and it said, "This is my beloved son. Listen to him. Listen to him." And when little kids and older women pray, God hears that prayer. He hears it. My wife was in Italy. She's from Italy. She was there once, and it was siesta time, and she was getting the kids ready for bed, and her mom went into her bedroom. So Rosa walked into her bedroom, and she never knew this. First time she saw it, her mom never talked about it. She walked in there, and her mom had her hands together and a veil across her head, and the light was shining on her, and she meditated for probably an hour, just listening to God. The noise of this world will try to distract you from your mission. The noise of this world will tell you, get down off of the, don't do this cross. Don't get off this mountain. Get back into the world. Have fun. Enjoy yourself. Party like there's no tomorrow. But there is a tomorrow. And there's a day after that. Our citizenship is in heaven, not here. Get away from the noise, pray to God, and then meditate on God's word. Abraham, I will make my covenant with you. And he did. He wants you all to be part of that covenant. He wants us all to have a place in heaven. As we come forward to receive this Eucharist today, a beautiful prayer will be said to you. The body of Christ. Do you believe that? Do you believe that that is the body of Christ? The body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you believe that that's what that is? I hope the answer is yes. If not, we got to do some talking. That piece of bread became the body of our Lord, just like it did at the Last Supper. At the Last Supper, when supper was ended, Jesus looked and said, "One of you here with me tonight who dips his finger into the dish will betray me." And they all say, "Surely it is not I, Lord. Surely it is not I, Lord." But there was one of them who was distracted in all the noise of the world and lost his sight of Christ, who said, "Well, surely it is not I, Rabbi." The disciples called him Lord, but Judas called him teacher. He had lost his faith at the Last Supper, at the greatest miracle in this whole universe. He had lost his faith. Don't let your faith wander. Stay close to the Lord. Be as close to him as you are to your parents. Hopefully your parents are good parents. They are the first image of God. The domestic church is the most important church outside of the Mass. Teach your children well so that they know that their citizenship is in heaven. And inspired by the body of Christ coming to them, and they take it into themselves, may they bring that Eucharist back to God
and remain there forever.